I think in the blurb, it's mentioned about that attachment is causing us suffering. However, if you look at the Four Noble Truths, in the Four Truths, the first one is about the truth of dukkha, meaning that life is subject to suffering or unsatisfactoriness. And the second truth is the samudaya, or it's about the cause of dukkha, which is the Buddha said tanha, or craving. And the third is nirodha, the truth of nirodha. Nirodha means cessation. So the truth of the cessation of the suffering. And the fourth is the path, or magga, the Noble Eightfold Path. In these four truths, as you can see, the Buddha didn't mention anything about attachment. Yet, we hear a lot from the Buddha's Buddhist teachings, from many teachers that say that attachment causes our suffering. So to be free from suffering, the teachers say you have to let go of the attachment. But the Four Noble Truths doesn't say that. Isn't it confusing? Maybe, maybe not. So, but, But if you look at the another part of the teaching, is called Paticchasamuppada, which is the 12th link of dependent arising or origination, which started off from ignorance, avijja, formation, sankhara, consciousness, vijnana, name and form, namarupa, six sense bases, or salayatana, and then contact, pasa, vedana, tana, upadana, bhava, and jati, and then back to aging and death, and then back to ignorance. So these are the 12 links that one conditions the other. So without ignorance, there is no sankhara or formations, and vice versa. So it goes in a loop. And this loop will not stop unless you break one of the chain. From this dependent origination, I have circled here, purposely circled in there, where it says that tanha, which is in the second noble truth, is what, when the arises of tanha, it conditions the arises of clinging or upadana. Clinging or upadana is what we normally call attachment in Buddhism. So as you can see clearly in here, actually clinging does cause us suffering. Because why? Because it actually precedented by tanha or craving. Because of craving arises, therefore clinging arises. There is no clinging without tanha. So that's the key in there. So when we notice that we're having some sort of attachment in there, it means that we also crave for something, right? So that's why we can say that, you know, when you have attachment, it causes us suffering. But why is it suffering? Why is attaching to something causes us suffering? Have you ever wondered that? Maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe you do. But the reason why it's suffering is actually the word suffering here doesn't necessarily mean that you're in agony or whatnot. But of course, agony is suffering. But suffering in here can be in a spectrum. It can be a minor suffering to a major suffering like depression. So suffering in here refers to the word dukkha, which means that it's non-satisfactoriness. So it basically, anything in life doesn't give you full satisfaction. You might be satisfied to some degree, but it doesn't quite right. It's not quite right. It doesn't give you the 100% fulfillment in a way. There's always something there that is not quite right. Why? Why is it not satisfactory? It's because the nature that everything in life is impermanent. Well, we all know everything is impermanent. We all know whatever that arises will fall away. Anything that is created will break apart. However, knowing intellectually doesn't mean that you actually know it subconsciously, or you know it in a deep down level, that you are not bound by all these conditions. That is why we
we need to practice. This is the essence why we need to practice, because by learning and studying alone is not enough. It helps you to intellectually understand it, but to penetrate and liberate yourself from the suffering, you really need to practice. And why is impermanence will give you the unsatisfactoriness? It's because whenever that we enjoy something, it won't last forever. Or vice versa, when you are in a relationship with somebody, this relationship is also impermanent. The relationship can be any relationship. It can be friendship. It can be your spouse, your partner. It can be your siblings. It can be with your parents. This relationship in itself, it's actually also impermanent. It's subject to impermanence. But why it is? Look around you. Who ever live forever? Nobody lives forever. So even though your relationship will be always good throughout your life, but you're bound to be separated by death. So that's why no matter how good or bad in life, it won't last forever. And because it's impermanent, that's why it's suffering, and that's why it's dukkha. But essentially, why we feel suffering is because of our own ignorance. Because the true phenomena is everything is impermanent. Everything is subject to unsatisfactoriness. But there are some people out there that can, despite all this impermanence, can feel liberated. They are obviously the Buddha and his disciples who have enlightened. Why they feel that way? Because they have, they have eliminated most of their ignorance. If they are fully enlightened, obviously they don't have any level of ignorance remained at all, but those who are not fully enlightened, they have removed a big chunk of the ignorance in their mind. I like this picture because look at this monkey on the left. The box says, in here, free banana. And then because this monkey really liked banana, so he put his hands inside the box, but if he was to pull his hand out when he's holding the banana, the hole is not big enough for the banana and the hand to come out. The picture on the right will show you clearly what it means. The hole is not big enough, but if the monkey is smart, to be free from the stuck feeling of his hand, he can just let go of the banana. That's why the middle monkey say, just let go. We all know that we can just simply say to our friends and whoever that complained to us, we can say that, come on, just let it go, just let it go. But as we probably have experienced in our life, it's not as simple as just saying, just let it go. It's not as simple as that. It takes effort, it takes time, and also it takes practice. And the Buddha already gave us the tool to let go. So the Buddha prescribed for us to be liberated. There is no other way but to practice the Noble Eightfold Path. And here I show you the diagram of the Noble Eightfold Path that consists of three factors, which are the morality, the practice of meditation, and the wisdom aspect. So this is the most effective way for us to be able to let go. But there's also another way of looking at it. So another way of looking at it, I would like to draw back to this dependent origination to your attention and look at the chain again. So ignorance, we can say that we already have it, so we can't help that. We already have ignorance. We also have sankhara because we have this body. We have this body, the physical body. And then we have consciousness because we're still alive. And then namarupa is the body. Formation sankhara is more like consists of body as well, but also the mind. And then consciousness, and then this is the physical form. And this is because of our body, therefore we have the six senses, the hearing, tasting, the sight, and all those sort of things. And because of that, we also have contact. And with contact, we will have feeling. Feeling in here is not emotion, but feeling in here rather is the big three groups. So the first one is what we say we like, the feeling that gives us pleasure and what we like. And the second one is the dislike feeling, which will give us a feeling of aversion, discontent, annoyance, that kind of feeling. Or neutral. So these are the three groups of feelings. So something that you like or liking, disliking, and neutral. And why I circle this is quite important. Because feeling is the one that conditions your craving. However, contact, you always have contact. You also already have six senses. You already have the body. So you can't help with these factors. However, the feeling part is where you can actually focus on your practice. Because of feeling, therefore, you have craving. It doesn't mean that you have to get rid of the feeling, but you have to work with the feeling. When you work skillfully with feeling, you can reduce or even eliminate your craving. That's the beauty of it, because feeling is something that is quite noticeable as well. We know when we like something, we know when we don't like something, and we know when we don't feel much, anything about things. So this is where we can start working with our attachment. But then, like I say, letting go is easier said than done. So what sort of things that we need to have, or what sort of factors or conditions that can help us letting go? So obviously, we need to be aware first. If you're not aware what you're feeling, what you're thinking, or how your body feels, the sensation in the body, you don't know what you're working with. So first of all, you have to have a level of awareness, mindfulness. You have to be present to know what is going on. Once you're aware, let's say you have a feeling of dislike. You dislike about someone's saying, for example, or someone's face, you don't like, this person looks so ugly, or anything like that. Then you're aware of your thought or your feeling of that disliking. But after you're aware, you don't tell to yourself, stop it, why am I thinking like that? I'm not supposed to think like that. This is a bad thought. You're not doing that, but rather you just accept it because it's already passed and that thought is already arising. So the thought of you thinking that I don't like how he looks or how she looks, it's already arisen. So what you can do is let it be. Don't judge the thought. Accept it. And then because it's a bad thought that you think that is not something that you should think about, then you forgive yourself for having that thought. But the thought in itself is already past. There's nothing you can do to change the past. The past is already gone. But you don't want to add unnecessary fuel onto what had already happened. That's why it's also important to have that level of forgiveness, because we make mistakes along the way. We are not perfect. We might say something that we regret. We might have done something that we also regret. So we are not perfect. That's why forgiveness is very important. At the same time, we also need to practice contentment. Why? Because we have the seed of greed in our heart. So if we don't have, we don't practice contentment, we won't ever feel enough. We always want more, more and more and more, meaning that you're actually fueling your greed. But by practicing contentment, you're subduing the energy of the greed in your heart. And the more you do it, the more naturally it becomes to you, and the more you become grateful, the more you become more at ease with life, less jealousy, and happier. But also you need to do a lot of reflection, because without reflection, we won't understand ourselves. We won't understand the true nature in life, that everything will come and go, Everything that arises will fall away. Therefore, there is no value for us to cling on to it. Because if you cling on to something that's already gone, what's the point? Right? If something's already passed, what's the point of holding on to it? It's not there anymore. So that's why we need to learn and we need to advise ourselves to let go. But we have to do it with a lot of care, not by telling our mind, let go, I'm telling you now, let it go. No, it won't happen. The more you do it that way, the less likely that you're going to let go. You have to do it with a lot of care, with a lot of compassion, and a lot of understanding. So this way, these are the factors that we need when we practice letting go. There could be more, but these what's I think that are important that we can have when we practice letting go. Like I said, letting go requires a lot of care, a lot of love, a lot of compassion. And also bear in mind, letting go is not the same as feeling numb about things. Letting go or detachment doesn't mean that you're aloof with things, but rather letting go is actually you're embracing life in any form of it. You accept, you welcome anything that happens to you. So that is the essence of letting go. Actually, letting go leads to peace. If you have truly let go of something, you'll have a sense of peace in your heart. If you don't, then you haven't practiced letting go to its correctly. Because the true letting go, actually, the outcome of it is actually a sense of peace. You will have a lot of peace in the heart. That is letting go. So yes, I am done with the material. So now back to you. If you have any questions, we have time. Question?
Thanks, Susie, for the talk. That's actually very fast.
Yeah, because it's only an hour.
Question. Haven't thought of a question yet.
Oh, I have one question. Like just now, you mentioned about like the noble effort path can help us in letting go.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you explain more about that?
Yes, of course. So, you know by heart what the Eightfold Path is, or do you want me to show you the chart?
I think I know.
Remember, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So you know the Eightfold Path is consists of a lot of three factors. So the morality aspect, and then you also have the samadhi or the concentration or mindfulness or meditation aspect, and then the wisdom. So why I said the only way or the most effective path is actually the Noble Eightfold Path to help you let go. To let go, you need. Okay, let me rewind a little bit. To liberate oneself from the true cause of why we still have attachment is basically because we don't have pure wisdom. We don't have wisdom, meaning that we still have ignorance in our mind. So the only way to eradicate this ignorance is by practicing the full Noble Eightfold Path. Why I say it has to be full? Because one, morality. Why morality is important? Morality or sila is important because the sila is the condition for mindfulness. If you practice mindfulness, if you practice meditation, and you might wonder, why don't I get peaceful? Why don't I get the nice feeling that people say meditation is great? Why people love meditation? I have a friend the other day. We went to stay in a monastery together, and then she wasn't really a big meditator, meaning that she meditates daily but only 10-15 minutes. And then she told me one day she was staying for a while. We were staying for 2 weeks, And then in the first week, she told me, I don't really understand why people like meditating. So maybe you can relate to that. You don't understand why people like meditating. But then in the second week, then she told me, and it makes my heart so happy when I heard that. She told me, Rosie, finally I could meditate for 3 hours without moving. Finally, she understood why people love meditating. And the reason is so simple, because when you meditate, you feel the sense of peace. But peace doesn't come without causes. So the cause for us to have that sense of peace is actually our morality. That's why morality is very important, because the Buddha even said the benefit of having a moral life, or having kept the precepts, is that you have a mind of blamelessness. When you have the mind free from blame, it means that your mind is pure. Therefore, you naturally are happy. The happiness that will help you to become peaceful. And when you're peaceful, the mind settles. When the mind settles, you don't have a lot of thoughts. You don't have a lot of chatters. Your mind doesn't get distracted to the past, to the future. Your mind is so present. That's when the wisdom kicks in. That's when you can actually see the reality as it is. And it goes in a circle, because without the good meditation, you won't have the peaceful or calm mind. Without the peaceful and calm mind, you won't have the wisdom. That's why it goes in a circle. We keep practicing. We perfect our morality. So when we have better morality, we have better meditation. We have better meditation, and we can see things better. We can gain the wisdom better. So that's why I say the only way is actually the path of Noble Eightfold Path. And also along the way, when you practice, we have to let go. Because if you meditate, if you don't let go, you're not meditating correctly. So like when we did the first 5-10 minutes, I don't know how long it was, maybe about 5 minutes when we did our meditation. So I said, when you're distracted, you return to your base again, which is your breathing. And when you return, the act of returning in itself is letting go. So letting go of the distraction, you go back to your own object again. And the more you do it, the better you're at it. Obviously, there are sometimes you will find that some object is so hard to let go. And that's when you have to work with it so that you can let go. And then because you practice inner meditation, it becomes easier in your daily life to let go. So you're being more aware at the same time too, because you know what's going on in your mind. And then when you see it, you can just learn and let it go. Yeah, makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good, thank you.
I have a question actually. Since you touched on meditation and letting go during meditating, is there anything, because like you mentioned that there are some objects that are harder to let go, like distractions that are harder to let go. Like I find sometimes like if I meditate for too long, like your legs will become numb and like your shoulders will become painful, right? Like any tips on how to let go of those, like more of like, since it's like sensation, like pain, like you can clearly feel it. Like, is there any tips on how to let go of that kind of distractions?
Yeah. A few tips. The main one is, first of all, before you're paying attention to your main object, make sure that the body is relaxed. Take the time to relax the body. But then when you relax the body, make sure that you're not sloth, or you're not having the dizziness, meaning that your posture is right, you're awake, you're not sleeping. So relax the body, first of all, and you might have to adjust your body posture as well. So you move, you wiggle your legs a little bit or something like that. So you just make sure that there is no tension in the body. And then when you're through a meditation, if you feel the pain, there are a few things. If it doesn't bother you too much, what you can do, just pay attention to the pain. Don't move the body, just pay attention to it. But by paying attention without judging, without pushing it away, just watch like you're watching a TV. Like, when you watch a tree, for example, in a park, you just watch without having any label or having any feeling tone to it. So watch it naturally. And you might be surprised that you might find that the feeling will go away. But if the feeling keeps being there and it bothers you, you can move your body. Wiggle a little bit and relax. Go back to the relaxation technique again. You do your relaxation. You watch the body open up the muscles so you can use your breath. When you're breathing in, you breathe out breath, you relax. So how I do it, I usually utilize my breath. So I use the out breath. So the out breath is when I also release all the tension. So I with the breath, the tension leaves the body in a way. So I use the breath. And then you can even take longer breath to help you out to relax. So you can do all that sort of thing. The physical distraction I find easier to manage with, compared with the mental distraction. Why the physical distraction is hard for you to let go, mainly also because of the mind, your reaction in the mind. So maybe next time when you have that distraction, watch what sort of reaction you have. Are you trying to push the pain away? Yeah, that actually makes it worse. That's why I say you watch it without judging. This is also a letting go process. So that's why I say when you meditate, you have to let go, because you will bound to have all these experiences. You'll have aches in the body. You'll have distracting thoughts. You will think about the past, think about the future. And then you remember what people tells you. And then you're planning. So a lot of things going on. But we just have to let things go. We have to let them go, because we say, well, this is not the time. The time is just to bring our attention to our focus of our meditation, which normally is our breath. So yeah, I hope that helps.
Thank you. Now it makes much more sense.
And don't force. The more you force, the worse it will get. So you just have to, you know, have a relaxed approach. Sometimes you might want to smile at it. Because smiling will counteract the aversion.
Mm.
Because when you smile, you can feel negative. You'll feel positive. So yeah, smile at it.
We'll try that next time.
Yeah, let me know how you go.
Yeah. Any other questions? Anyone else?
Yeah.
Mute yourself if you have any questions. Yeah. Yeah. No?
No, very easy.
Awesome.
No question.
Good. I can't think of any other question.
So you guys are all enlightened by now.
See you personally if I have any questions.
Yeah, no problem. So if there is no more question, then maybe I can conclude. I have two more slides to share. Well, actually one more slides to share. Is that all right? You want to conclude, or you want to, anyone else having any questions? If not,
I don't, but if anyone has any questions, now is your time to ask. Well, we conclude. No?
Okay. Everyone's enlightened. That's good. I'm going to share my slides quickly. You can see my slides now? Yes?
Yes, you can
see. Okay, good. So this is just a quote by Ajahn Chah. I don't know whether you heard of him. So Ajahn Chah, he is a great teacher, or great meditation teacher. He's a monk. A Thai monk, and he's passed away, but he was very popular and very famous and very big back in early 1900, I believe, or I can't remember the year, don't quote me on that, but it's the generation before us. So I think he passed away in 1980s, So yeah, Ajahn Chah has a lot of Western disciples. I don't know whether you heard of Ajahn Sumedho, Ajahn Brahm. They are his disciples. So Ajahn Chah is one of the great masters that we are lucky to have. So what he said in one of his teaching is that I think is relevant to our topic tonight is this one. So he said, do everything with a mind that lets go. Don't accept praise or gain or anything else. If you let go a little, you will have...
Oh, this is a taco.
If you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you have a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you have complete peace. So reflect on that and contemplate in your daily life. If you have peace in your heart, then you know that you're already letting go of something. But if not, then figure out how you can let go. And in our life, we are bound to be having praises or blames, gains, losses, and you have fame and also the opposite of fame, and you have the other one? Yeah, eight wins. So meaning what I'm trying to say is that try as best as you can not to be affected by praises or gain, not be affected by losses, not be affected by people's blaming you. So when people are praising you, you accept it, but don't attach to it. Maybe you can reflect what it means by attaching to people's praises. And also, you can also reflect what does it mean by not attaching to blames. So this can be your practice to see in your mind, what does it mean to let go? When somebody praises you, what does it mean to let go of praises? Why do we want to let go of praises? Why do we want to let go of any gains? Like I said, everything in life is impermanent. Today, somebody can praise you, the same person tomorrow can blame you at the same time. So when you attach to any of this, when things the opposite happen, you will have a lot of disappointment. You'll have a lot of pain. You might have heartache. So to avoid all this, we have to learn to have the attitude not to hold on to any of these events so we can be at peace in life, so we can be more happy, we can be lighter, we can enjoy life to the fullest. We can live our life like the great masters, hopefully. So yeah. Thank you, everybody, for your attention and for the time tonight. Wish you all the best. I know that you are preparing for Buddha night, and I wish you all the best with that as well. So, yeah, I return back to you.